over the Everything Unscripted Network. We got a special collaboration between the Top Tier Rankings and the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast tonight. We will be doing the Wrestling Manager Tier Rankings. I'm your host tonight, Daniel Hummer. I'm here with my brother Doug, Clintus, Eric, and Stevie. How's everyone doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Good. Yeah, how are you sound?
Collaboration. Yeah. We host both shows.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it does. So we're going to be getting into that. We're going to be taking a lot of the managers from, history, the all-time greats, the all-time worst, and we're going to be putting them in a tier list like we usually do. But first, to get some plugs out of the way and let the people know how we're doing in our fantasy wrestling, too.
You want me to do that first or you want me to do the plug?
I don't care.
Okay.
All right, so I'll do the plugs first. Listen to Boxman and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday, Friday night, Mixler.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. They can be found on all major podcast platforms around 10:15, 10:20 Eastern time every Wednesday and Friday night. Also, listen to us on Fridays for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast about 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. This Friday night, Survivor, and we are going to do a pay-per-view retrospective on Survivor Series 1990.
What the hell are you doing?
Because Survivor Series 1990, we are coming up on the 30th anniversary of The Undertaker's debut. It'll be actually 30 years on November 22nd.
Yep.
You're going to review that pay-per-view next week. I'm actually looking forward to watching it. I actually haven't watched it in a few years. I mean, I still remember, but I'm looking forward to watching it. So that's coming up. Eric, what day this week are we doing Hard Hits?
Tuesday. Tuesday? Right,
Tuesday, yes.
Yeah.
6 p.m.?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. So, 6 p.m. Eastern time, this upcoming Tuesday, for the NFL Hard Hits show, it's going to be Eric Klinis and more than likely myself. It depends on what kind of mood I'm in, but I'm planning on being on the show. We'll be reviewing, what week are we in?
Nine.
We're in week nine.
Ten.
Thank you, Clint. this is why you're here. You're a vital member of the team. So, all right. So we will be reviewing week 9, previewing week 10. A lot of things happen here in this week 9. A lot of things are still happening. So listen to that. We might do the final second round match of the Unscripted Jeopardy tournament on Saturday. I haven't necessarily asked everybody yet, but I'm going to. Next Sunday's top tier, Dan, what's it going to be? All right. So listen to us. What?
We have to say rest in peace to Alistair Bett.
Okay. I will. Don't interrupt me when I'm doing the plugs.
Sorry.
All right. So next Sunday, 5 p.m. Eastern time, listen to us on the top tier here on blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted. Dan will eventually tell us what we're tier listing. 5 minutes before the show goes in next week. All right. Also,
what else? Anything else?
He just said we have to do the rest in peace to Alex Trebek. So. Wow. Oh, also today, longtime Jeopardy host Alex Trebek passed away, so RIP to him, and we send our condolences out to his family. Now, fantasy wrestling. After Full Gear last night, the standings are as follows. I am in first place with 77. Daniel is in second place with 76. Eric is in third place with 49. Clintus is in fourth place with 28. And Stevie's in last place with 3.
Hey, how did I get in third place?
Because Daniel and I got in first and second.
Well, duh. Oh, because you guys won the title match.
Yeah.
All right. So there you go. There you have it. We're going to get right into this wrestling manager tier list, guys. We got our same five tiers. Legendary, very good, middle of the road, meh, and garbage. Managers have been kind of underrated as of late, but a big deal when it comes to the grand scope of wrestling. You guys ready?
What?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Definitely.
You have less percentage than Eric now. Remember that. The first manager we'll get into, it's one of the late greats. Doug, get us started on Bobby the Brain Heenan.
You're starting it right off, aren't you? Probably, I mean, a lot of people call him the greatest wrestling manager of all time. And if you don't, you're completely stupid. I mean, obviously, all right, so the tiers are legendary, very good, middle of the road, mediocre, and garbage, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I write man, or did I write? Oh, yeah, I wrote man. So, Bobby the Brain Heenan is obviously legendary. He's managed so many guys over the years. You know, the leader of the Heenan family led so many guys to championships. He was successful in the NWA. He was Nick Bockwinkel's manager. Obviously, we know, you know, what he was able to do with Andre. He led Rick Rude to the Intercontinental title. He led Arn and Tully to the WWF tag titles. And he led Mr. Perfect to a couple of Intercontinental titles. All right, he managed guys at the first seven WrestleManias. So, obviously, he's legendary.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to agree. Clinton, what do you think?
I'll put him in legendary. You can't go wrong with there.
All right. Stevie?
I'd put him at legendary. Probably one of the smartest managers in wrestling.
I agree. All right, Doug, go ahead and put Bobby Brain Heenan in legendary to start us off. And now, someone who's also very legendary, I don't know if she'll get put in that tier, the first female we'll be doing. Kenneth, we're going to start with you. A young lady known for her puppies. What do you think about Deborah?
I will put her as middle. I won't say good because during that time when Deborah was a manager, they were just using women as candy. I can't even word anything like that. All she did was just take a toss off to distract the opponent for Jeff Jarrett. When she was managing Jeff Jarrett, before you can bash him upside the head with a guitar.
Yeah.
With Austin, it was more like a lover's corner. All you really did was just talk down to her during his heel run as champion, and then she was slowly written off television during the Invasion saga, and then never really heard from her again.
Yeah. Well, they had to write her off TV because her and Austin got divorced.
Because Austin beat her up, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what people are, that's the police report anyway. That's one of the reasons why.
So, yeah, especially during that time when Deborah was really a manager, she wasn't really a wrestler. Like, she got the women's title not because she won a wrestling match. It's because they had to, Shawn Michaels came and just handed her a title for having looking better in a bikini.
Well, you know why they did that, right?
Because of Sable leaving and whatnot.
Yeah, pretty much. They had to pay Sable like an awful lot of money just to come to TV that day.
Yeah.
She didn't want to come to TV to drop the belt. And then when she said, she got there, she had basically said, I'm not putting anybody over. So she beat Deborah in the evening gown match, and Shawn Michaels just came out and said, all right, Deborah's tits are bigger, so she's the champion.
Good officiating.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is we're not judging these guys as wrestlers, right? Because a lot of these people have been wrestlers. We got to judge them.
We're judging them on the managerial skill.
And on their clients, too.
On the clients. But, if you look at her clients, all her major clients was Jeff Jarrett and then
and Steve Austin.
What she wants is Steve Austin. Steve Austin wasn't really the only thing she did well with Steve Austin was that one night of SmackDown when they both was had an argument with Spike Dudley and Molly Holly. That was the only thing that made them actually seem like a real good power couple. Even when Austin teamed up with the former 2-man power trip, it was always Triple H, Stephanie, Austin, and Debra was just the eye candy. Nobody really took her seriously.
I mean,
the only time she had relevance was when she was managing Owen Hart and Jeff Jarrett.
She was relevant in WCW for a while.
Yeah, with Mongo. And Jarrett, you could argue that her time with Jarrett was probably the most successful Jarrett's ever been in the WWF.
Right. And here's the thing. She didn't really want to be – she wanted to be on television. Okay?
Yeah.
She did not want to – she wanted nothing to do with the wrestling business except for they have a television
program.
I want to be on TV.
Yeah.
Okay? So – and she was very, like, if you look at her early WCW work, she was annoying.
Yeah.
Like, her voice, and this is before she got the boobs.
Yeah.
Okay? She didn't have tits in WCW.
Yeah.
But if you're judging by her managerial work, her best work, like you just said, was with Jeff Jarrett. Other than that...
Yeah.
Nothing really to write home about, so I'm going to agree with Plymouth and say middle of the road.
Me too. I agree with that too. Throwing it to Eric, what do you think?
I'm going to say meh.
Meh. Okay. Stevie, what do you think about Debra?
I'd have to say middle of the road.
All right. Looks like that's where she's going. Do kind of an obscure one here. Let's talk about El Mondo Estrada, famous manager for Umaga. Stevie, I'll start with you. Armando Estrada.
I would have to say nah, to tell you the truth. I wasn't really a fan of his, really. So I would say nah to that.
So, like, meh?
Nah. Back. Nah, whatever. Yeah.
One of them.
Yeah, one of them.
Yeah, whatever.
Thing is, he's probably one of the exceptions to the rule of guys that can't work because he actually could work.
Yeah.
And he was a very well built guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's Cuban.
I think putting him with Umaga was great, but I just wasn't really a fan of his.
Because Umaga couldn't talk. He could talk. He just wasn't supposed to.
Right.
He was just supposed to go, Umaga just kept making noises like he kept seeing Oprah Winfrey naked. But so Estrada's main purpose is mouthpiece for a guy that technically could cut a good promo if he had to, but was not supposed to.
Right.
That being said, I'm going to agree with Stevie and say meh.
All right. Clintus, what do you think of Armando Estrada?
See, I want to put him in middle of the road because I think when I think of Armando, I do like the work he did with Umaga. I think having him as his mouthpiece really elevated, especially like with the feud going into like with John Cena.
Yeah.
I really liked it.
He was a great mouthpiece. I mean, Umaga was a successful Intercontinental Champion too, but he wasn't really. He was just there to speak. It was just there for a mouthpiece. So that I won't put him in like the middle of the road.
All right. What do you think, Eric?
I'm going to say meh. I wasn't really impressed with him.
All right. So, looks like we're leaning towards meh, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Put him in meh, too. And, Eric, I'm going to start with you on this one.
Okay.
A manager to a controversial act, but this act did blow up and get some steam. Daivari. He's a manager for a little bit. He's a manager for Muhammad Hassan.
Kali, Mark Henry.
Kali.
I'll say middle of the road. I thought he was decent. I don't think he was great on the mic, but I thought he was okay.
Okay. Dougie?
All right, so one of the main, like, criteria of a wrestling manager, especially for a heel, is you have to annoy the shit out of people.
Yeah.
You have to be a boil on the ass.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Daivari was a perfect boil on the ass. And especially, like, when he was with Hassan, because another good thing about the wrestling managers is, and the good ones, knew how to bump. And Daivari could get his ass kicked. Because Daivari could also work. So I'm actually going to say, and I hated Daivari because you were supposed to. I'm actually going to say Daivari was very good.
Okay. Clemens. Daivari.
I'm going to say very good. And the main thing I do like about Daivari was his work with the great Kali. That's one thing I did like.
Roger Singh, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
The thing with Daivari is that he actually, like, he gave up managing because he felt like he could have a good in-ring career.
Yeah, he went to TNA, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, he was in WWE for a little while.
Yeah.
He had kind of a singles run. I mean, it was a shitty singles run, but he had kind of a singles run. But then, yeah, he went to TNA and
did a little better there.
Yeah.
Stevie, what do you think?
I'd say very good.
All right. So I guess we're putting it very good then. All right. And Stevie, I'm going to start with you on this one. The guy that choppy choppy your pee pee to Vel Venus, manager of Kai and Tai, Yamaguchi.
Nah, I didn't like that guy. I wasn't a fan of his either.
You think he's massive or garbage?
Nah. I'd say nah.
Okay.
I never liked him, so.
Right.
Dougie,
what do you think of
Yamaguchi-san? I thought him managing Kai and Tai, for when they first started out, and they were basically guys that just beat up Taka Michinoku. Kai and Tai was basically, it was a Japanese mafia. Okay, but then things got really stupid because then Vel Venus was hitting on this woman, turned out to be Yamaguchi-san's wife, which basically proved that Yamaguchi-san had money.
She was hot.
Yeah, that's the proof.
And she was hot.
Exactly. So it got dumb. So for a concept that started off cool, because then they just started jobbing. So
the Vel Venus thing was the only thing they really did, right? Before
Well, it was the feud with Taka.
Yeah.
All right, the feud with Taka and Bradshaw, where Bradshaw was actually trying to Americanize Taka.
That was funny, though.
That was hilarious. But here's the thing, and like, you have three guys that, you know, each combined, like, if they all stood on each other's shoulders, they would still only be, like, 2 inches taller than Bradshaw.
Yeah.
Okay? And Bradshaw is supposed to be getting his ass kicked by these guys. It made no sense.
Holy shit. My God.
Are you, Eric, are you looking at a naked woman? What's going on here?
The Cowboys are up 10-0 and they're about to score.
Anyway,
again.
Not the football show.
yeah, sorry.
I'll say that Yamaguchi-san is just mad.
I mean, he basically is just discount Mr. Fuji, right?
Pretty much, except for Fuji did more.
I'd say meh, too. Not garbage. Do we get anyone else? What do you think?
I will say, I'll put him as garbage, to tell you the truth, because Kai Tai really wasn't that successful. Like you said, it was just mainly just there just to beat up on people and then so-called do that dumb angle with Val Venus. He really did nothing for them whatsoever.
No. I mean, they were more popular when they broke off as just a tag team with Taka and Funaki.
Right.
And they started doing the funny stuff. But that was
right, because they were a comedy team. You know, Yamaguchi-san was already gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically I will just put trash.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll say garbage.
All right, so we got three mad, two garbage. Put him on the borderline.
Sure.
I'm playing, yeah.
And I'm actually going to start with you for this one, Doug. Tell us a little bit about Slick.
Who?
One of the coolest theme songs in that golden era of, but basically, I mean, the guy was a stereotype, right? He was a stereotype. He was a pimp, but I actually thought he was, you know, Slick was actually like one of my, he wasn't my first wrestling figure. He was actually probably my second or my third.
Yeah.
And he was just cool, and it was a cool theme song. He had really good dance moves. And he was a manager to one of the most controversial gimmicks, you know, in Akeem, who was a one-man gang. But that was real funny how that came about. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the vignette where Akeem became, or where a one-man gang became Akeem.
I saw that.
Okay. All right. So basically, Slick has Mean Gene meet him in the, and I'm doing the air quotes right now, the deepest, darkest parts of Africa, which is actually just Chicago, which is just Holstead Street in Chicago. Okay, because that's where the gang was from. And he goes, you're going to see the birth of my new man, Akeem. And Mean Gene looks at him and says, that's the one-man gang. And then and he's like, no, don't you call him that. And then at one point, Slick says to Gene, he basically goes, let me tell you something, brother. And then Mean Gene answers back to him and says, what's up, cousin? It was fucking hysterical. So as a manager, and Slick may not have been successful, but you look at some of the guys he's managed. He managed Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkov. Then he managed Nikolai with Boris as the Bolsheviks. He managed the gang. He managed Butch Reed, Warlord, Bossman. You know, he managed Bossman and Akeem as the Towers.
he took on Rick Martel for like the first few months of his career until he realized Martel didn't need a manager. He managed Warlord, Power and Glory. Then he became the Reverend Slick. He managed Kamala. To Slick, yeah. Legitimately, is a reverend. He's a preacher.
Oh, wow.
So as a manager, I'm going to say that Slick was very good because he was ahead of his time.
Yeah. Did I ask anybody else? You were first, right?
Yeah.
Clemens, what do you think of Slick?
I want to agree with Doug and say he was very good. I mean, with all those accomplishments that he did, and all, you just can't go wrong.
All right, I agree. Eric?
I say very good. I agree with the boys.
Okay, too. Stevie, what do you think of Slick?
I agree. I mean, he's accomplished everything, so I'd say very good.
Right.
And the suits. I mean,
hell of a dresser.
Yeah. I mean, there was this one, for some reason, I don't know why the hell this is my favorite, but he had this, like, this blue suit. It was kind of like a turquoise or almost like teal. And for some reason, like, I swear to God, like, if somebody turned the lights off in the building, you'd still be able to tell where Slick is just because he's wearing that suit. I mean, a hell of a dress. I'd let him pick out my clothes.
Would you?
Yeah.
Cool. All right, I'm going to start with you on this one, Quinn. Kelly Kelly. She managed Mike Knox, The Miz for a little while.
Kelly, I will say, was middle of the road. I will say that she was in ECW when she was married to Mike Knox. He was known as like the overprotective, like he didn't want her showing her tits on stream expose. The Miz, it was more like a comedy thing, not destiny-wise. But
well, he bought her contract in ECW, didn't he?
Yeah, he bought her contract, basically, and that's how he got her the manager, her manager on rights.
Right, because he bought the contract.
Yeah.
All right, middle of the road. Eric, what do you think? Kelly.
Okay, middle of the road, too.
All right. Stevie?
You know what? My honest opinion is... Nah, because I never really viewed her as a manager. I just viewed her as a wrestler.
Yeah, you know? She was only manager for like a year.
Yeah, and that's a fair criticism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is that she was basically, she wasn't even really a manager. Here's the thing, like when she would manage Mike Knox, she would basically just be kind of, you know.
The eye candy.
Like, ogling over CM Punk.
Yeah.
And remember, when she was a manager, she was just a kid.
Yeah, she was like 19.
Yeah.
I thought she was 18.
Like that.
18 or 19, I think. I'm pretty sure she's actually your age. Because you're a year younger than me, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she's like 30-something.
Right. So, like, she's either, like... She's either, like, right at Clint's age or she's only, like, maybe a month or so behind me.
Yeah, so. All right, middle of the road. I'm going to start with you for this one, Eric. Karen Jarrett.
Wait. Repeat that.
Karen Jarrett, Jeff Jarrett's wife.
Oh, I was saying meh. I don't think she was just there. She was annoying, but she was just there. I say meh. And that's being nice.
I'm not going to be nice. I'm going to say garbage.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. She starts out, she wasn't even necessarily, she's another one of them that married a wrestler.
Yeah.
She married a wrestler so she could get rich, right? And she had humble beginnings. You know that at one point before she went to, because she studied, she was a beautician, but to actually put herself through beauty school, she actually was a stripper.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she was, she started off just like Brian Pillman's wife, Melanie.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't know each other, but she, but no, she started off as an exotic dancer. And then she married Kurt, and she got herself through beauty school. Her and Kurt, you know, were, you know, madly in love or whatever. But, like, things were going south, so Kurt had to leave WWE and went to TNA. And after, like, a year, they put Karen on television. Because, you know, Dixie Carter sees another woman that does not belong, or like herself, does not belong in the wrestling business. So she's like, oh, yeah, we got to put her on TNA.
But she was married to Kurt Angle first, though, right?
Yes.
Until that whole feud brung out to Jeff Jarrett.
Exactly. So, like, and then she realized she didn't want to be on the road. She wanted to be home. She wanted to be home raising her kids. Her and Kurt did not want to be married anymore. Yeah. What's actually funny is the fact that they would have gotten divorced in 2007 had not they put her on TNA television. Because TNA basically, Vince Russo in his infinite wisdom said, no, the two of you have to stay married, so it makes sense that the two of you were together on TV. So.
Well, that's okay. You can get divorced and still act like you're married. Just look at Triple H and Stephanie. Those two was married on television before they even started dating.
Exactly. It depends on how good of an actor you are. But, like, Karen, again, she didn't really belong in the wrestling business. Not really a fan of being in the wrestling business. And the whole thing with Kurt Angle and Jeff Jarrett and her,
yeah,
it was so fucked up.
Yeah, it was
messy. So.
Yeah, that was messed up.
Oh, I'm saying garbage.
Stevie, where are you putting Karen Jarrett?
I'd have to say garbage.
Can I change mine? I'll change it. Garbage.
All right, let's put her in garbage.
Is Clancy even going to vote?
Didn't he go before you?
Eric went before me.
Well, I won't put her in garbage, too, but yeah.
All right, Clint, garbage?
Yep.
Seems like everyone's going that way anyway, so.
Yep.
All right, we'll start with you, Doug. Taz.
I like what he's doing right now with this team, Taz. Like I said earlier, a manager has to be a boil on your ass.
Yeah.
And Taz is a – here's the thing. A boil causes you discomfort, right?
Yeah.
Okay? And makes you miserable. Nobody on this planet is more miserable than Taz. So he's doing his job, and his job is to be a piece of shit. So I'm actually going to say, even though I would not mind a bus run over him, I'm actually going to say that Taz, at least right now, is doing a very good job.
Yeah, I mean, he's got two badass clients right now.
Right, and to be honest, I would not be surprised if he expanded his roster a little bit.
Yeah. Right, so Will Hobbs might end up going there. I know he's fighting him right now, but I can see that.
You know who I can actually see him going with? I can almost see Darby end up there. I mean, Darby, it might be one of those situations where Darby's just, fuck it, I'm just going to, so you guys quit trying to fucking kill me. I'm just going to be here.
Cletus, what do you think, Taz?
Yeah. So if I want to go, I'm probably going to say I'm enjoying his work for right now, what he's doing in AEW. But and for that, I'll just say very good. But this is like the most I ever seen Tad as a manager. When I'm thinking Tad, I look at him as an S wrestler slash commentator. This is the first managerial stuff I ever seen Tad do, and what he's doing right now, I'm actually enjoying.
And he still has a commentary desk instead of being there pretty much.
Yeah.
He's more of a coach than anything.
Yeah, but this is like the most I've ever seen Taz done, like manager, outside the whole managing-wise, put it that way.
I mean, he's basically doing what Arn Anderson's doing right now, and he's doing a real good job of it.
I'd say very good, too.
Stevie?
I'd say very good.
All right.
And trust me, it pains me to give this asshole a compliment.
All right, to kind of pick it up, we're going to start the speed round.
Okay.
I'm just going to start naming them. Everyone just kind of yell out your what tier you'd put them in, maybe a sentence about them, and that's it. Let's get into it. First up, Paul Heyman.
Legendary.
The Jackal, Don Callis.
Garbage.
Garbage.
All right. James Mitchell, famous manager for Abyss.
And Sinister Minister back in ECW.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, and I'll probably get some shit for this, I was never really impressed with him. I'll say middle of the road.
Yeah, I was in middle of the road. He was okay.
Middle of the road.
Middle.
All right, let's put him in the middle of the road then. Harvey Whippleman.
Oh, Harvey. What a stooge. But he was also... Here's the thing. Like, you wanted to see him get his ass kicked. And for that, he's another one of those that's actually very good.
I want to say middle of the road. I'd say very good.
All right.
I'd say very good.
So if we get a tie, put him on the borderline, Doug. Dawn Marie.
Very good.
Man. I was never really impressed. I mean, she was hot back in the day.
Yeah.
But
that'd
she was
be very good.
She was clueless.
What did you say?
I said very good.
All right. Eric?
I said very good.
All right, put her very good. Sonny.
You want me to start then?
Someone's got it.
Hey. Go ahead, Clint.
I didn't say anything.
Oh, I thought you were going to.
No.
All right, well, nobody talk at once. I'm going to say very good.
Okay. I'd say Sonny's legendary.
I'd say legendary.
I'd say very good.
I'll say legendary.
All right, let's put her in legendary. Teddy Long.
I'm going to say very good.
He did it for a long time before he became a referee.
I mean, he was a referee first, then a manager. Then went back to refereeing and then became a manager again. So he knew how to transition.
Yeah.
I'd say very good. He was entertaining.
I'd say very good.
All right, so very good.
Very good.
All right. Virgil. Garbage.
That's it, garbage.
I wouldn't say garbage. I put more in middle of the road, but not garbage.
I agree with you, Clintus, but I guess we're losing this one. Sapphire. Dusty Rhodes' lady.
She wasn't around for very long, mainly, but fun. Little fun-filled fact that she actually, she was a super fan, right? And from Kansas City, and she worked, and she actually knew how to work.
Yeah.
So I'm actually going to say for the short time she was around, she was actually, well, I'll say middle of the road.
I see middle of the road.
Middle of the road.
Let's put it in the middle of the road then. Skandor Akbar.
Oh, thank God we got to him. I love Skandor Akbar because he was a huge manager in the territories. And he could manage it. It's a shame that he never made it to the big time, although I really don't think he wanted to.
Yeah.
But I'm actually going to say legendary.
And I know Rod Price would agree with me.
I put him in legendary.
I'd say legendary.
I'd say legendary.
Gary Hart.
He's another one that could have made it. Other.
I'd say very good.
He's another one that could have made it big in other places had he decided to go.
Yeah.
He's another territory man. I mean, he was in WCW for a little while.
Yeah, he was.
I don't think he was good as Akbar, though, so I'm just going to say very good.
Yeah. Very good, then. Terry Runnels.
Very good.
Terry Runnels. I say very good.
Very good.
Okay. Very good. One last one. Sable.
I say middle of the road.
I'm going to say meh.
I say middle of the road.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go middle of the road with that one.
And we do actually have to have three more, because if I forget these three, we're going to get killed. Mr. Fuji.
Legendary.
Player and a manager. Just if you ever had a rib pulled on you by him, just you have to make sure that if you're going to get ribbed by him, you had to be on his good side.
Yeah.
Or else you were going to lose a peck.
Legendary. All right, Jimmy Hart.
Legendary.
Very good.
Back to that boil on the butt mentality. Nobody was a bigger boil on anybody's ass than Jimmy Hart. And he was good at his job. So legendary.
All right. What about legendary? Our last one then, since we've kind of had the... We've been on the roll with Legion of Doom, and we've done shows about that. Paul Ellering.
Legendary.
Because he started off as a wrestler, transitioned to a manager, and did it beautifully, and he was smart.
Yeah, and he came back a couple years later to manage the Ascension in NXT. He was actually pretty good there, too.
All right. Well, that is our manager tier list. Thank you, everybody. Doug, I'll have you read off the list, and then we'll head home.
Okay. Before I do that, one thing I forgot to plug earlier. I forgot to plug the fact that we're on Patreon now.
Okay.
So we are on Patreon. First episode dropped the other day. We did a tribute episode for Tracy Smothers. Rod Price was on with us the entire show. Sam Houston was also on with us. It is patreon.com/eunscripted, right, Eric?
EUP podcast. Yeah.
Hold on, you actually typed it to me.
Yes, because everything is E for everything and unscripted for you and in podcast.
All right, yeah. So patreon.com/EU podcast. The E and the P are capitalized. So find us on there. You can either do the $3 tier or the $5 tier. It's all it takes to sign up. You're going to get a lot of good content because we got a lot of good ideas coming up. So make sure you sign up to that. Sign up for that. That
get your friends and family to sign up.
Yeah. Well, our family won't sign up unless we give them the money to. Got to eat, Mom. All right.
Read off the list, and we're going to head off.
The manager tier list. Think that she doesn't have a will, or else I'd be out. manager tier list. In legendary, we have Bobby the Brain Heenan, Paul Heyman, Sonny, Skandor Akbar, Mr. Fuji, Jimmy Hart, and Paul Ellering. In very good, we have Daivari, Slick, Az, Dawn Marie, Tenny Long, Gary Hart, Terry Runnels, and Harvey Whippleman on the borderline. In middle of the row, we have Deborah, Kelly Kelly, Father James Mitchell, Sapphire and Sable. In man, we have Armando Estrada and Yamaguchi-san on the borderline. And in garbage, we have Karen Jarrett, the Jackal, and Virgil.
And three more I forgot so we don't get killed. Should we all just agree that Paul Bear, Sensational Sherry, and Miss Elizabeth are all legendary?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because I could
get my question.
Paul Bear, Sherry, and Elizabeth?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're all legendary for different reasons.
Yep. And we start to do a Sherry retrospective.
We will, David. We will definitely get that done. You know, we forgot Cornette.
Oh, fuck him. I'm cool with
forgetting. Jim Cornette, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, fuck Jim Cornette. Put him in garbage. Heard of that.
And we forgot J.J. Dillon.
We did forget J.J. Dillon.
Legendary for both.
I know, I don't.
J.J. Dillon's very good.
Yeah, I don't know if I mean, a lot of people would say legendary, but I would just say very good.
Yeah, because he didn't have to be the best talker. He already had great talkers.
Right.
But yeah. That was our manager tier list. We're not adding anything else. Anyone else that got lost?
We're not adding Jim. So fuck Jim Cornette.
Yeah.
Cornette, I'm a big fan of yours. I cry.
Fuck Cornette. All right, guys.
I say legendary.
He's not legendary. All right, Clint, Stevie, Doug, Eric.
Do we know next Sunday yet?
Me and Eric. No. Everyone, have a good time, and we will see you guys next week. Thanks for joining us.
Yep. Please. See you Friday. All right.
Friday for Survivor Series 90.
And Tuesday for Survivor Series.